to another episode of Icebreaker. I want this episode to be a continuation of my previous one where I discussed extreme events and climate change, and this time we're going to be focusing on rainier or windier events. When I was younger, I would always wonder why everyone would always say, "Well, that's global warming for you," or "Mother Nature isn't looking too happy," when a hurricane was coming our way or we heard about a horrible natural disaster. And again, I know climate change and extreme events are correlated, but how could the warming of the earth and deforestation lead to an increasing amount of disasters like tornadoes or hurricanes? So let's start off with extreme precipitation, which I believe I told you guys I would get to talking about one day in my first episode. Extreme precipitation events have produced more rain and become more common since the 1950s in many regions of the world, including much of the United States. More rain than Rihanna's umbrella could handle. And in the US, the Midwest and Northeast have seen the strongest increases in heavy precipitation events. Scientists expect these trends to continue as the planet continues to warm. Warmer air can hold more water vapor. For each degree of warming, the Earth's capacity for water vapor goes up by about 7%. An atmosphere with more moisture can produce more intense precipitation events, which is exactly what has been observed. Increases in heavy precipitation may not always lead to an increase in total precipitation over a season or over the year. Some climate models project a decrease in moderate rainfall and an increase in the length of dry periods, which offsets the increasing precipitation that falls during heavy events. The most immediate impact of heavy precipitation is the prospect of flooding. This risk can be heightened in urban areas where impervious pavements force water to quickly run off into sewer systems. Some recent examples. In August of 2017, Hurricane Harvey dumped 48 inches of rain on Houston, breaking the U.S. record for most rainfall from a single event, and demonstrating that the biggest threat from tropical cyclones is not always coastal flooding and wind damage. In July 2016, more than 6 inches of rain fell in 2 hours in Ellicott City, Maryland, causing more than $22 million in damages. In September 2013, Boulder, Colorado received almost a year's worth of rainfall, 17 inches, in 4 days. The resulting flooding destroyed homes, shut down thousands of oil and gas wells, and damaged crops. In 2010, almost 20 inches of rain fell in Nashville, Tennessee area over 3 days. Losses in Nashville alone totaled over $1 billion. In addition to flooding, heavy precipitation also increases the risk of landslides. When above normal precipitation raises the water table and saturates the ground, slopes can lose their stability, causing a landslide. Washington State, which has a particularly high risk of landslides due to its terrain, is anticipating more frequent landslides as a result of climate change-induced increases in heavy downpours. Excessive precipitation can also degrade water quality, harming human health and ecosystems. Stormwater runoff, which often includes pollutants like heavy metals, pesticides, nitrogen, and phosphorus, can end up in lakes, streams, and bays, damaging aquatic ecosystems and lowering water quality for human use. Many cities in the United States use a combined sewer system, which I will be talking about in another shorter episode, where both stormwater and wastewater are mixed, treated, and released. Heavy rainfall can overwhelm such systems, sending excess stormwater, wastewater, and untreated sewage directly into the environment, risking public health and disrupting local fisheries. As for hurricanes, although scientists are uncertain whether climate change will lead to an increase in the number of hurricanes, there is confidence that warmer ocean temperatures and higher sea levels are expected to intensify hurricanes' intensity and impacts. Stronger hurricanes will be far more costly in terms of damages and deaths without action to make coastal and inland areas more resilient. Hurricanes are subject to a number of climate change-related influences. Warmer sea surface temperatures could intensify tropical storm wind speeds, potentially delivering more damage if they make landfall. Based on complex modeling, NOAA has suggested that an increase in Category 4 and 5 hurricanes is likely, with hurricane wind speeds increasing by up to 10%. Warmer sea temperatures are also causing hurricanes to be wetter, with 10 to 15% more precipitation from cyclones projected in a 2 degree C scenario. Recent storms such as Hurricane Harvey in 2017, which Again, as we stated before, it dropped over 60 inches in some locations. Florence in 2018 with over 35 inches, and Imelda in 2019 or 44 inches, demonstrate the devastating floods that can be triggered by these high rain hurricanes. Sea level rise is likely to make future coastal storms, including hurricanes, more damaging, and globally averaged sea level is expected to rise by 1 to 4 feet in low and moderate emissions scenarios during the century, which will amplify coastal storm surge. For example, sea level rise intensified the impact of Hurricane Sandy, which caused an estimated $65 billion in damages in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut in 2012. Much of this damage was related to coastal flooding. Areas affected by hurricanes are shifting poleward. This is likely associated with expanding tropics due to higher global average temperatures. The changing patterns of tropical storms, or a shift northward in the Atlantic, could put much more property and human lives at risk, but much more research is required to build a better understanding of how these patterns might change. Even still, the connection between climate change and hurricane frequency is less straightforward. It's likely the number of storms will remain the same or decrease, with the primary increase being of the most extreme storms. For the 21st century, some models project no change or a small reduction in the frequency of hurricanes, while others show an increase in frequency. More recent work shows a trade-off between intensity and frequency, that as warmer oceans will stir hurricane intensity, fewer storms actually form. Climate change is adding to the cost and threat of hurricanes. While there have been extreme storms in the past, recent history reflects the growing expense of hurricanes. 4 of the 10 costliest hurricanes on record in the United States occurred in 2017 and 2018. Hurricane Katrina in 2005 remains the most expensive hurricane on record, costing $168 billion in, based off of 2020 inflation rates. The 2017 hurricane season was historic, with Hurricanes Harvey, Maria, and Irma costing nearly $300 billion together. Again, with 2020 inflation rates. It's important to note that while stronger hurricanes are more damaging, there are nearly 50 million homes and at least $1.4 trillion in assets within an eighth of a mile of the coast and a growing amount of property at risk in coastal areas. An important driver of the increased cost of hurricanes is the increasing development in coastal areas. U.S. coastal populations grew by nearly 35 million people between 1970 and 2010, and as more development occurs, regardless of climate change, more likely damage will grow. In addition to damages to buildings, hurricanes threaten infrastructure, undermining energy systems, water and sewer systems, transportation, and flood management structures. Stronger hurricanes pose a significant risk to public health and human lives. Hurricane Katrina caused over 1,800 deaths, and Hurricane Maria in 2018 caused 2,981 deaths, mostly in Puerto Rico. Disruptions to water supplies and power systems can create risk for waterborne illness, environmental contaminants, mosquito-borne illnesses, and can cause hospitals to close or affect care for patients. Growing intensity and frequency of severe weather events like extreme rainfall, extreme heat, and drought can be directly attributed to climate change, but the link between tornadoes and climate change is currently not fully understood. Challenges remain that prevent clear attribution, including limited data collection methods, high year-to-year variability, and difficulty modeling key physical elements that help tornadoes form, as well as directly modeling tornadoes due to their small size. Tornado records date back to only to the 1950s in the United States and vary significantly from year to year, making it difficult to identify long-term trends. The assessment of tornado wind speeds from associated damage may also have been less consistent before the 2007 implementation of the EF, or Enhanced Fita Scale, for tornado damage intensity. In addition, measuring the presence of tornadoes relies on eyewitness accounts and aftermath damage assessments rather than quantitative data. As the population in many areas affected by tornadoes has grown, we have seen an increase in eyewitness reports and property in harm's way, leading to a larger number of recorded tornadoes, especially weaker ones. Additionally, improved radar technology helps us identify severe storms that may produce tornadoes that may not have been detected decades ago. Despite these challenges, studies have found a few trends in the United States by using portions of records that are more reliable, like data for very strong tornadoes. Although the number of days with tornadoes has fallen, other trends are increasing, including outbreaks with 30 or more tornadoes in one day, the density of tornado clusters, and the strength of tornadoes. Tornado clusters are when tornadoes are closer together geographically. The distribution of tornadoes has also shifted eastward. These trends have not been directly linked to climate change, though, and an added difficulty in determining future tornado frequency and intensity is caused by changes in the climate, that tornadoes are too geographically small to be well simulated by climate models. However, models can simulate some of the conditions that contribute to forming severe thunderstorms that often spawn tornadoes. Researchers are working better to understand how the building blocks for tornadoes, aka atmosphere instability and wind shear, respond to global warming. It's likely that a warmer, more humid world allows for more frequent instability, while it is also possible that a warmer world decreases wind shear. Multiple studies find that the conditions that produce the most severe thunderstorms from which the tornadoes may form are more likely as the world warms. Climate change may also cause a shift in the seasonality of severe thunderstorms and the regions that are most likely to be hit. As scientists improve their physical understanding of the processes that cause tornadoes, and as climate models are run at higher spatial resolutions, our understanding of climate change influence on tornadoes will improve. Likewise, as the observational record increases over time, trends will likely become more obvious. That's all I have for today, folks. Check out part one. It's getting hot in here for more information. Everything I've discussed has been taken directly from the Center for Climate and Energy Solutions, so check that out for more information. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to follow this podcast on Instagram at icebreaker.podcast. Check out icebreakerpodcast.card.co. Happy holidays and happy new year.